Hey everybody, welcome to the special edition of the Daily Friend podcast. Yes, that's right, the Daily Friend podcast. Remember, you can find all our writing, news, analysis and opinion on the Daily Friend website. That's dailyfriend.co.za. It's a special edition because I have a very special chap with me in studio, a voice which you don't hear often enough, and I think we should get onto our platforms a lot more because he would really empower, I think, most of you, the listeners, with sound arguments, the very arguments that you can use in your own social spaces to push back against the bad ideas that have become so pervasive in society. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. John Kane Berman, a voice of reason, unfortunately, in our country in a time where so much of the discourse is statist and socialist. But we're going to have a conversation here about essentially a policy position, a paper that the Minister of Finance, Mr. Tito Mboweni, put out a couple of weeks ago, which of course came under a lot of criticism from the very people I argue dominate our discourse spaces, the left in this country. But essentially what we're going to do is actually propose or put forward a, let me not call it an endorsement, it's not an endorsement of that paper, but essentially an analysis of what the good, the bad and the ugly, if I can use that expression, was in that paper. And again, without waffling on, let me welcome John to the studio. John, good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. So, John, I'm going to hop straight into it. John, this paper, it came out at a time when essentially the left had solidified its grip on the policy environment, the ideas environment in society. Was it really something decidedly different?
Fundamentally different, I think. Probably the most important thing about it is its recognition that rapid rates of economic growth are essential, whereas many people on the left are more concerned with issues such as redistribution and with demands for state intervention, supposedly to reduce inequality. This document focuses very specifically on the importance of economic growth, and I think that is not only a break with much of what passes for public argument in South Africa, but a break with the thrust of ANC policy really since it came to power. Mm. It's been more concerned with transformation, with redistribution, and with dealing with inequality, and of course there's been a great deal of legislation focused on what will supposedly bring about racial redress.
You raise a very important point around perhaps just latently what you're saying essentially is the idea of the ideas, the battle of ideas within those spaces in government, how the paper began to sort of almost, let me call it a flash in the pan of something different in that environment. John, let's perhaps go into it itself. You've penned a submission, Going for Growth, it's titled, and you, of course you can find it, dear listener, on our website at irr.org.za. We'll be submitting this today to the Treasury. John, talk to me about what your key points were in the paper, and we'll have a brief discussion after that.
Well, the key point has to be macroeconomic stability. Nobody seriously argues about that, and that is essentially the responsibility of the Reserve Bank, looking after inflation and the currency, and of the Treasury looking after the fiscus. That's the fundamental point, and there's no real argument against that. Mm. Having said that, there are a number of important policies that the document puts forward. I think its strength is that many of these are modest proposals. If we can get some of them implemented, they lay the foundation for further proposals. For example, it suggests that Eskom's power stations, there are a couple of dozen of them, mm-hmm. should all be privatized. Well, that's an excellent idea. It doesn't go as far as privatizing SAA and all sorts of other state-owned enterprises that need to be privatized, but if we can start with Eskom and make that a success, that will be a very important way forward. The second very important thing that it talks about is the need to cut red tape. We know very well that red tape has been strangling businesses large and small for years and years and years. South Africa has slipped steadily down the World Bank's ease of doing business index, and that slippage needs to be reversed and we need to start climbing up again. Mm-hmm. That means cutting red tape, and the Treasury document suggests that red tape should be reduced by 25% over the next 5 years. Well, I would like to see a much faster rate, but that would be a good start if that policy could be implemented and enacted speedily. Mm. The next very important thing that it talks about is redirecting transport subsidies. Most of the transport subsidies that the ANC government implements go on things such as South African Airways, whereas the poorest people in the country spend 40%, that's 40% of their income on transport. Mm. That is a horrendous, disgracefully high figure, and it would be far more sensible to subsidize taxis than to subsidize South African Airways. So that's an important point that the document makes. Another important point it makes is the need to promote tourism. You need to do that in various ways, making it easier for tourists to get visas, dealing with crime, those sorts of things. Unfortunately, when this document talks about promoting tourism, the government is busy with legislation that will impose all sorts of limits on Airbnbs, which will discourage tourism. So there's a good contradiction there that needs to be dealt with, and the Treasury, in fact, in my view, needs to go to war against people in government that want to thwart tourism rather than promote it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sorry, you caught me off guard there. Again, you raise and highlight a few important points as to, firstly, how you begin to unlock the potential of the economy, and how most of it is really having government get out of the way, to be brutally honest. You know, a lot of the bad government decisions being essentially cast aside. But I want us, as we sort of move towards somewhat of the tail end of this conversation, but before that, I want us to look at some of the key reforms you put forward in terms of addressing long-term growth. I'll begin, I suppose, with the major albatross around the throat or around the neck of government, which is education and getting education right. You just simply cannot reform the economy if we're not producing the sort of skill sets and empowering young people in particular to be able to compete in what is an ever-increasingly global labor market. John, you touched on this on your paper. What were some of your key findings and your points?
Well, education is critically important. Everybody recognizes that. Unfortunately, it cannot be reformed very dramatically in the short term, which is why the document says, yes, educational reform is very, very important, but it focuses rather on things that can be done sooner than fixing education. Mm-hmm. One of these, for example, is to liberalize labor law, to make it difficult for the Department of Labor to extend to small businesses the bargaining council agreements, particularly about wages that are made by large businesses in conjunction with unions. These agreements are designed to protect big business by pricing labor out of the market and so making it impossible for small business to compete. That's a reform that can be introduced in a very short space of time, simply by passing the necessary legislation. Education, unfortunately, takes very much longer, and to be quite frank, I think the document ducks the challenge that needs to be addressed with regard to education at school in particular, mm-hmm. and that's to break the stranglehold of the South African Democratic Teachers Union over school education. That's an immensely tricky political challenge. The ANC has steadily ducked it down the years. The document, I suppose, pragmatically kicks that issue into touch because it wants to focus on what can be done in the short term, and that's probably a right order of priorities.
Let me segue you to then another area, which obviously is, I suppose, self-evident when we want to address the issue of turning around the economy and really including more and more South Africans in it. You speak in the document around the promotion of SMMEs, and you critique the document, that's Tito's document, and add, I suppose, an extra layer to it. Not layer, but you add nuance to it around how do you actually begin to unlock the potential of SMMEs. Do you want to quickly talk to us about that? Because it's such a key area.
The document rightly stresses that if you want to create an enabling environment for small and medium and micro enterprises, you've got to create an enabling environment for all kinds of businesses. And that's a very, very important point to make, because many people put all their eggs into the basket of promoting only small business. But really the fundamental problem, to quote something that you yourself said a few minutes ago, is that government is in the way. You need to get government out of the way. The very idea that you can promote small enterprises by giving them subsidies and so on has been tried. It's failed. There have been umpteen special funds set up for small and medium enterprises. They might be quite useful in some respects, but they really evade the issue. Get government out of the way. Reduce red tape. Reduce interference. Reduce the insatiable appetite of just about every single one of South Africa's ministers and the various ministries and government departments and regulators to interfere with people who are trying to make a living by manufacturing goods and marketing them to people who want to buy them and running services that people want to pay for. Government inhibits that by its incessant regulatory and other forms of interference, never mind its threats to expropriate property without compensation.
And if there is one sector, and I'm going to bring it up purposefully because it's almost focused on quite a bit on this paper, if there's one sector, John, that understands or should understand the threat of having their property rights taken away and ever increasingly having a regulatory burden imposed on them, is the mining sector. This paper delves a little bit into the mining area, and I see you've got very strong notes around actually how you get mining rights. And as I sort of push you in that direction, can you also speak to us simultaneously around how we can also make South Africa more competitive in terms of exports and, in an ever-increasingly globalizing world?
Well, two things about mining emerge from the paper. The one, of course, is that property rights are a given. I mean, there's no point in arguing interminably about their importance. Everybody knows that they're important, so the paper doesn't dwell on that issue in any great detail. What it does do, which I find quite useful as far as mining is concerned, is suggest that policy should focus on upstream rather than downstream beneficiation. That essentially means that instead of compelling mining companies in South Africa who mine gold or diamonds, for example, to manufacture gold or diamond jewelry in South Africa, that's downstream beneficiation, which the government focuses on. The paper argues for upstream beneficiation, in other words, for upstream interventions, in the sense that the South African mining industry has, since it started, been pioneering in developing all kinds of technologies to make mining possible. And South Africa's a world leader with regard to raise boring, for example. There are global companies operating from here, South African companies. More and more energy should be put and encouraged as far as producing for the mining industry the things it needs to operate, rather than on compelling the mining industry to beneficiate within South Africa. So that's a very important change of emphasis that comes through in this document.
So that, John, as we perhaps look to conclude, I'm going to ask you to give me your overall assessment and then cap off with the top five interventions you would recommend that we actually embark on if we're actually going to begin to turn the tide of the absolute terminal decline that we're in at the moment. Your assessment, general overview assessment, and your top five interventions that we can close off with.
Well, my overall assessment is that this document is an excellent start. It suggests a change of thrust, and it needs to be supported. Its liberalizing and deregulatory aspects need strong support from all sorts of people. That's the first point I would make. It could go further in some respects. I would like to see, for example, it implement something that Donald Trump implemented in the US when he became president, and that was to say that any regulatory agency that wanted to introduce new regulations had at the same time to propose two regulations that would be repealed. I would like to see that in South Africa, but stepped up, because we have so much regulation. If the document would say, or the government would say, that any statutory body or regulatory agency that wants to introduce new regulations must start by proposing three that should be repealed. That would be excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing that I think is very important in the document is what it says about trade. This is a very tricky area. We have the big steel companies, big poultry farmers wanting protection against imports. The document makes the very, very important point that if you want to promote South African exports, you have to lower the cost of the intermediate goods that you import in order to manufacture goods for exporting. We are putting tariffs on imported goods such as steel from China or cement from Pakistan that simply increases the price of things that we're trying to export. So that's a very important proposal that comes in this document as well, to liberalize our trading policy in general.
John, on that particular point, let me say thank you very much for joining me, and thank you to the listener. I hope you guys will take the moment to actually read this document and go through it, because, again, it arms you with arguments that you can use in your spaces in order to prosecute the battle of ideas and actually move South Africa towards a point where we talk more freedom and freedom-related approaches to organizing our society, our economy, etc., etc. And with those particular notes, let me quickly thank you guys for listening and remind you, if you want to support our colleagues such as John, who writes, by the way, for the Daily Friend, you can do so by becoming a friend of the IRR. That is our crowdfunding campaign. Easy peasy. SMS your name to 32823. A SMS will cost you 1 rand. Terms and conditions to apply. Or if you're tech savvy and you are one of the millennial types, we'll find us online by registering at irr.org.za. You can sign up for a monthly debit order of 90 rand there. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you on the Wednesday edition of The Daily Friend.